welcome to the Chase Down podcast on Leverage the Chat. As always, I am your host, Justin Rowan, with my co-host, Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Kickball semifinals for the playoffs were canceled, rained out, so we went to the bar instead. I'm in a good spot. I'm feeling good. Let's go.
Well, now you just ruined the podcast because this whole thing was going to be talking about your kickball, but we do have special...
I'm going to lead with that.
We do have special guests on this week, though. Friend of the podcast is back. Chops, the man, the myth, the legend from Complex. How are you doing today?
What's up?
I'm glad you were able to stay up for this, man. You sound exhausted.
I barely made it.
To be clear, he told me he took a nap like 3 hours ago.
Yeah, I started watching the Sixers game, so I didn't fall asleep, but I'm here now.
And also joining the podcast, we have the Haitian sensation himself, Big Waz. How you doing today?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Thrilled to have you on, man.
Yeah, sorry you have to make your debut with Sleepy Floyd over there.
Well, it's cool, man. I'm proud to finally be on a Cleveland sports show. This will be the first, probably the last.
You're coming directly to your people.
I'm excited to be on. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Whoa, what's good?
Nothing, man. I'm chilling, yo. Just ordered Seamless. Just got on the phone with you guys, so I'm feeling great.
Guys, let me preface this with me and Wolves ended our rivalry, and then he left Brooklyn, or he left New York.
Yes,
you feel
yes.
Like you chased him out?
I was going to say, I want to find out, because I've heard rumors that you are the reason why Woz left New York.
Is well, this true? Okay.
No, it's not. But we can. We can talk about the beef that happened, right? Well, it wasn't even a beef. It was like, I want to say it was around 2011. No. I'm talking about the origins. The origins of it. It was around 2011, maybe 2012. I don't know what happened. Yeah, I don't know what happened. Somebody retweeted Chops, who was like, yo, if you weren't in the city, you don't understand how it felt when LeBron left, blah, 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 blah. And of course, me, like, you know, for background, people who don't know, like, my leanings, like, I'm a super LeBron stan, like, beyond stanery. Like, probably the last thing that I'll ever stand for. No, actually, Drake is probably the last thing that I'll ever stand for. LeBron is right before that. So I don't know anything about Chops. I don't know who he is. I don't know his history, his background. I didn't even know if he was from Cleveland or not. I just remember being really bitter and pissed off and mad at Cleveland fans for the way they behaved after the decision went down. And I was like, fuck that. Fuck Cleveland. This is bullshit. They acted like losers. We hate them. Blah, 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 blah.
And now of course, I remember.
And of course, Chops blocked me.
This whole thing, I'm picturing like the Charlie Murphy Real Hollywood Stories.
I don't block anybody. That's the thing. I don't block anybody on Twitter.
You just get blocked.
I don't get blocked. Nobody blocks me.
See, that's another thing. Like, I've only been blocked that I know of by two people.
That's
one
impressive.
Being Chops, the other being Adrian Wojnarowski, for whatever reason.
What?
Yo.
You don't see his complaints about United's Wi-Fi? That's sad.
He's recently unblocked me for whatever reason, but I've never actually added him. But again, as a LeBron stan, I've said disparaging things about him in the past because obviously they've had an adversarial relationship. Right.
I was going to say, Woj blocks anyone that's backing LeBron because he's bitter.
Woj blocked me during the 2016 finals because I asked him where the Steph Curry hit piece was, and then he unblocked me in August.
That's crazy to me is that he's – because you would think, okay, like Woj is like an enormous platform, right? And he's like – so he's like, fuck these guys, I'm blocking you. And then he's still really going back to unblock. I've never unblocked someone I've blocked.
But this is the thing that's fun, is the dopest thing about Woj is that I never at him. I never added him in any of this shit.
He just doesn't like you. He's retweeted in his feed, and he's like, fuck out of here.
Fuck that guy. Yeah, sure.
I added him.
And I understand, as somebody who's been you know, had people in my mentions threatening to kill me, calling me all kinds of names. You know, shouts to my Mexican homies in San Antonio, because I once said a bad thing. First of all, I didn't even realize San Antonio was this Latin, like, as a city. Like, I didn't know anything about the city until I said something bad about Tim Duncan on True Hoop, and these people lit me the fuck up.
The name is in Spanish, Wasp. Well,
I guess.
I unblocked you last Christmas after you went on a podcast and just totally just.
Oh, I think we lost Chops. Did we block Chops?
Chops is listening. I hear talking right now, Justin.
Oh, I lost you guys for a second then.
Dude, is it your Canadian connection?
It might be my Canadian connection.
Anyway, continue.
Can we just bash Kyrie for the rest of this podcast?
No.
No. Come on, man.
Justin will cry.
Yeah. I'm working through some stuff, man.
I thought that's why we were all picked for this.
So I haven't watched Boston outside of the first game against Cleveland, which, you know, was kind of a tough way to judge how they've been playing. What have you guys
seen? Died on the court, so yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
Exactly.
Man, that was a tough watch.
Yeah, it wasn't great. But I think Kyrie's like swinging back up with the strong suck my dick game.
Yes, I did catch that on Twitter.
Which was so weird because, like, if you think about, like, the shit these guys hear all the time, like, people say the most foul stuff to them, right? And, like, the one that got, like, a response was, "Where's LeBron?" And that was enough for him to be like, "Suck my dick."
Oh, that's great.
That's outstanding.
Yeah. I remember going to a Cavs game last year when I went back to Cleveland, and one of the fans, I'm trying to think who they were playing. I can't remember. But someone said, like, the foulest thing to Kyrie about Kalani, and he didn't even flinch.
Christ.
He didn't even flinch. And then this dude just says, "Where's LeBron?" to him, and he flips out. What does that tell you?
He's going through some stuff. Like, we all are.
I just love, like, the people that are, like, pushing the narrative. And, like, sure, like, maybe LeBron is leaving and, like, he's just, like, doesn't want to stay while LeBron, like, holds the city hostage again, or, like, holds the franchise hostage, like, where he's left in limbo. But, like, to pretend like that's all it is, like, I think at this point, like, we know it's more than that. These guys don't like each other.
I think it's a lot of things. I don't think it's like, oh, I'm so sick and tired of LeBron's shit and I want to get out of here. But I do think it's like, yo, I'm a big enough deal in the NBA to where I don't need to be tethered to whatever the fuck LeBron decides he wants to do.
Right.
So if he has an inclination of, one, you know, I'm tired of, like, taking marching orders from this dude. I'm tired of being a part of an organization that's constantly either kowtowing to this dude or, like, doing weird shit to piss him off, and my fate is so tied to this guy. It's like, yo, I'm a big enough deal in the NBA in my own right. I can go do my own thing.
That mama mentality.
Can we talk about the report that Kyrie's dad called Randy Mims the enemy while, like, a few years ago?
Excuse me?
You didn't see this one?
Oh, yeah.
No, I didn't.
I'll blow up the transcript while you guys bullshit. Give me a second.
Please. Yes, yes. So Randy Mims is LeBron's mans from childhood. He's part of, LRMR.
And he's a Cavs employee right now.
Okay.
And apparently, I think Jason Lloyd reported it, like, one interaction between them, like, Randy went to go, like,
Chops. So here's the transcript. One day during the 3 years LeBron James and Kyrie Irving spent as teammates, Friedrich Irving was exiting the Cavs locker room when Randy Mims was entering. Mims reached out his hand to slap Friedrich five, but Dread Irving's father pulled his own arm back and refused the gesture. When James later asked Irving about the incident and if there was something wrong, Irving said that his father believed they shouldn't be, quote, fraternizing with the enemy.
Jeez.
And then,
Kyrie's dad's heavily involved in everything that's happening, though. Like, there's no denying that that was a major factor in him requesting the trade, because Kyrie 100% follows what his dad was doing. There was tension back in 2015 when Kyrie was hurt in the playoffs. He didn't think he should be hurt or playing, and then he goes out and breaks his leg against Golden State. I know that was a source of tension. Plus, Kyrie just didn't want to be in Cleveland. Like, Kyrie did not want to be in Cleveland even 4 or 5 years ago, and that was always clear.
Yeah, the weirdest thing from that article, though, wasn't that. It was Jason Lloyd basically, like, said, ask James and Mims to, like, comment on the quote for this piece, and they both declined. Then he asked Kyrie. Kyrie didn't confirm or deny it, and he said, quote, I could care less. You can write it. It's on you, kid. It's your validity, baby. It's just my dad. It's not me. Why is he talking like a Motown music producer?
He's annoying.
Come on, baby. Just sign up for these records.
I'm telling you, he really thinks he's a lot smarter and more clever than he actually is.
Hashtag pick deep.
And he's fully unleashed now. Now that he's out of Cleveland, like, he's completely going in. Like, he's.
I hate this dude. Dog. What? Let's talk about my birthday party real quick before you.
Oh my God.
What do you want to talk about? It was dope.
Dude, that night was crazy. That's all I want to say.
It was dope.
This is the worst podcast conversation of all time.
I've actually walked by that particular bar like 3 trillion times in my life, because I hang out over there, like that LES East Village sort of border area right there on the Bowery. Never been inside. Chops was like, yo, pull up. Came through. It was dope. There was chicks. There was great music. There was several of your favorite Complex employees utterly and completely drunk and acting a fool. It was dope.
I don't believe any of that based on the photos I've seen from that night.
I've seen Chops' birthday parties, and he certainly looks faded.
You guys don't realize how big of a moment this is. This is like the biggest NBA Twitter beef ever squashed, and you guys have
I'll note that I didn't anticipate Chops calling in from the bottom of a well, but it's great. The audio quality is great from Chops.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to blame iOS 11. I don't know what's going on.
That's respect. We should probably get back on the Cavs instead of talking about your birthday party.
Yes, speaking of the nightlife, J.R. Smith back in the starting lineup. The Hennessy King.
Dwayne Wade benched himself. I work at Sports Network, and we were sitting watching that game, and Brian McFadden, who was one of our analysts, used to be a cornerback for the Steelers. He kind of made this joke that, like, he was watching the Cavs, and he said, you know Dwayne Wade is washed because of how much clothing he is wearing. He's wearing an undershirt. He's wearing an overshirt. He's wearing compression shorts. He's wearing long socks. He's wearing knee pads. He's wearing literally, it's like he's like trying to avoid catching pneumonia.
You know, who could have possibly predicted that a starting backcourt of Derrick Rose and Dwayne Wade in 2017 had absolutely no shot of working out?
Carter had a theory last week that Lou was basically just letting them do it to satisfy, satisfy the ego, and then after a week just kind of points to him and be like, see, it doesn't work. Let's figure this out. Who knows if Wade 100% went to them and said, put me on the bench, I'll come play with the second unit, or if they decided together to come out with that narrative. But either way, that is the best. That's the best way that you can use him, because at this stage of his career, his best assets are his ability to create a shot for himself and others. And the bench is playing with a more up-tempo style. In the half court, Wade just isn't as effective without his outside shot. It just makes so much more sense. And plus, J.R. Smith's just a better player than Dwayne Wade and fits better with that starting unit. So that was a move that just needed to happen at some point.
Could you have imagined trying to go up against if the Cavs had tried to go up against the Warriors in the finals with a defensive backcourt of Isaiah Thomas and Dwayne Wade?
Oh my God.
Jesus. Yeah, not ideal. Although, like, see, the thing about Dwayne Wade is that he's big enough and strong enough to switch on, like he can switch and guard Draymond Green just fine. I mean, Kevin Durant, he's
a whole other story.
Yeah, he's fooled against KD, but, like, you know, bigger guys, like, he's not going to get completely trampled. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, his effort waxes and wanes, you know. He doesn't have the lift that he once did as far as his hops.
Right.
Yeah, he's just not the same dude, right? Like, he can't dribble past people. He has to rely on tricking people into, you know, falling for his head fake in order to draw fouls. Like, he's
35.
You don't want to be that person bashing the legendary Dwayne Wade, but, like, he's not good. Like, I watched the 2014 finals. That was 3 years ago.
What's the Cavs finishing lineup?
That's a good question. I still think it's against the Warriors, against everyone else. Does it even matter against everyone else?
Right. I think it has to be different against the Warriors.
Yeah, I think so,
for
too.
Sure. I think Wade might be in it against the Warriors.
I agree. I'd have Wade and JR together as the guards.
Just have JR on Curry, Wade on Thompson. And
yeah,
Wade,
exactly.
Have to try. And IT just doesn't play?
Closing lineup? I don't know, man. Justin, what was your stat Thompson with IT?
End of games?
Man, I would not
have to play.
Does he have to play? Kevin Love
because
can't play against the Warriors.
Scoring.
Isaiah Thomas has not proven he can score against the Warriors. Everyone talks about how good the Warriors are offensively. They're just as good defensively. He's way short.
They're getting ran by the Mavericks right now. Let's just be honest.
Okay.
Are they right now?
as a Cavs fan, are you going to talk about regular season mattering with a contender?
When the Warriors are losing, I can do it.
They've been through enough stuff, man. They're going to coast.
16 points. What are you talking about?
But seriously, over the last 3 years, Isaiah Thomas has not proven he can score against the Warriors. And they have so much length. If you look at the finals even last year, the Warriors are confident that they can defend LeBron one-on-one with Durant, and they trapped Kyrie on every single play, because if Kyrie wasn't effective, then the Cavs just had no chance of scoring. I would go with Wade and Smith as the guards. You put Wade on Thompson, Smith on Curry, as has been the case the last few years. Jay Crowder, LeBron, and Tristan. If they're going with the small ball lineup, if you need to close, that's the lineup.
Give IT the chance until he proves he can't do it.
But you're not going to get the chance. He's not going to play on Christmas. You might get one game of a limited Isaiah Thomas. I don't want to experiment in the finals. That's what makes me nervous about this whole thing.
See, I'm of a different mind. I think if you're asking Isaiah to come out and create to make every single thing happen for his offense, or be the engine that makes his offense go like he was in Boston, sure. But if you got him trying to score against a scramble defense after LeBron does something, initiates
that's
an action,
fair. It is different.
And gets the defense to react, like, it's a different equation. You're asking them to do a different job. And, like, I think we overstate the defense thing a little bit.
Cavs scored like 107 points for 100 possessions in the finals last year.
No, I'm talking about Isaiah's. About Isaiah's defense.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
The tough thing is, like, Kyrie's 6'4", and you could hide him on Klay Thompson to some extent. Like, it wasn't the end of the world. If you put 5'9", Isaiah Thomas on 6'7", Klay Thompson, like, Isaiah could be stepping on Klay's shoes, and Klay can still catch over his head and get an open shot off. Like, I just don't buy it.
I don't see Klay Thompson ever as a one-on-one threat.
Well, no.
Like, I don't even think he has to be a one-on-one threat. I think, like, even if, like, Isaiah's in his airspace in the corner on a three, like, he can just rise, right? Like, really bother the shot?
But, like, if the Warriors are running offense through, like, they're not going to just run offense.
That's what I always say. Like, if they want to make sure, if they want to make it a, we're going to make Klay Thompson kick Isaiah Thomas's ass, that's a win for the Cavs.
In my opinion.
If the Warriors turn their offense into hunting shots for Klay Thompson against Isaiah Thomas, that's better than KD doing anything. I'm sorry.
But, I mean, it's not just one-on-one, too. It's getting him involved
Klay
in the
Thompson
pick and roll.
Dribble. Let's get that out of here. Like, Klay Thompson can't dribble.
Yeah, but Justin and I aren't saying that Klay will be taking Isaiah off the dribble. It's literally like if you just run like a 1-5 pick and roll and then hit Klay in the corner, Isaiah in his airspace does not bother the shot.
Right. That's and he can post him up.
I just don't think that Isaiah is as unplayable as it's been made out to see against the Warriors.
I'm hopeful for that. I'm just saying it's scary to me that you're not really going to see it because Isaiah's out until January. He's going to miss Christmas.
How do you know that? You don't know that.
I mean, even if he does come back, I don't want you to go all sources chops on me here, but
I didn't even say anything.
If he comes back early before that, he's still not going to be 100%. You're not going to be able – he's not going to be integrated into the offense at that point. You're really going in blind to the finals to some extent with Isaiah.
I think we always knew that, though, but you still have to play your best lineups. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I think they might just have to give it a shot. Like, I'm kind of in the middle between you guys, whereas, like, I see where Isaiah could be a huge problem, but, like, at the same time – the Warriors are so good on defense that if you only have one playmaker out there, they're gonna lock in on him.
Right.
So you need Kyrie. God damn it. You need Isaiah to create that secondary offense. I don't know, man.
Well, it might be different in some games. Like in some games, if the Warriors are roasting him, then you go to a more defensive lineup. If they're not taking advantage of it, then obviously yes, you keep him in. You try to get his scoring. And it'll kind of vary. Like you kind of have to feel it out and make decisions on the fly. But I mean that's the same thing that the Cavs did with Kevin Love last year. In certain games, he was very effective and they kept him in. In other games, you have to have the mindset that if you're getting exposed, you need to sacrifice and you might need to play a smaller role that game. And I think Isaiah and Kevin Love need to fall in that same category when the Cavs do have better defensive options and they have more depth than they've had in the past.
Just a quick tangent. My man Dennis Smith Jr. is minus 30 in this Warriors game.
Jesus.
I want to ask you, Chops, where were you coming from with that? Did you just read the scoreboard wrong?
At halftime, it was tied.
No, they were up three at half.
Okay, one. I'm sorry. Same shit.
They were down. You said they were getting run by the Mavericks.
The Mavericks scored 38 points in the second quarter against the Warriors.
2017, man. Fake news is everywhere.
That's okay, crazy.
My thing is, I think a lot of Cavs fans are not expecting how good Isaiah Thomas is going to be on offense when he comes in during the regular season.
We've been shitting on him for, like, the last 13 months.
I'm excited.
The thing is, even in the playoffs against the Cavs, he was hurt.
Yeah, so, he wasn't right against the Cavs. That's for sure.
Like, there were moments in the regular season. Well, I guess the Cavs' regular season defense. By the way, it wasn't that much better in the playoffs, their defense. I think they're
it was overstated.
That was very overstated.
I think their offense, they actually took every single possession seriously on offense, and so they just blew the doors off of people, which, you know, you can do when you surround LeBron with shooting.
Right. But, And especially when your biggest defensive weakness is transition, if you're actually clicking on all cylinders offensively, it's going to limit the number of opportunities for your opponent to attack you in transition.
Hard to run on a made basket.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah. Holy shit. How about the Suns, by the way? They're up 22 in the first quarter against the Kings. That is the dead coach bounce I've ever seen.
Damn.
Eric Bledsoe is holding them back, man.
Eric Bledsoe and Earl Watson were keeping this team from becoming the new Warriors.
Yeah.
Eric Bledsoe's back at the salon.
Are you guys interested in Eric Bledsoe to the Cavs for the Brooklyn pick?
No, not for the Brooklyn pick.
I mean, is the cost going to be that high? I don't think he's going to be that expensive, man.
How much years does he have left on his deal? Like two?
2 years.
Two years,
$28 million.
Yeah.
So man, if he had any kind of knee ligaments, man, I'd love to see what he could do against with LeBron.
I mean, here's the thing: like, I don't know what you guys think. Are they going to get a first round pick out of that, given how little leverage they have?
Like, I was surprised that a lot of people were saying the Bucks should trade Brogdon for him. I would not give up.
Why? Brogdon no way.
Brogdon's like 25. He's like 2 years younger than Bledsoe.
Yeah, he also has functioning knees.
Yeah, Brogdon is just as big of a health concern long term.
Yeah, people are saying that based on some like some fucking stuff from college, but like he was healthy all season last year.
What's Bledsoe like on catch and shoots, though? Like,
hold on.
Anything on catch and shoot?
Isn't he like
73rd percentile?
Yeah, 73rd percentile on catch and shoot threes.
Yeah, someone just tweeted out his synergy shit today.
He so that means so his 73% of the league he's better than?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Like,
that's
so
not
basically terrible. His numbers are terrible because he takes a bunch of threes off the dribble.
That's not terrible, man.
No, it's not.
If the Bucks get him, are they like the clear two seed in the East?
It depends on other factors.
I don't believe in Boston. The third best player is Jaylen Brown, which, yo, I like Jaylen Brown, but come on.
Yeah.
You know, man, the Terry Rozier slander on this pod, man.
I mean, remember, their starters got run off the floor against the Wizards. It was because the Wizards' bench was so bad that they couldn't keep – that they basically blew the series. Like, that would have been, like, a five-game series if the Wizards' bench was, like, even competent.
Yeah.
So are the Wizards
and Boston just blew all their depth.
What's that, Chops?
What?
I'm trying to think of the East. I'm trying to like rank the East after the Cavs right now, and it's just like a clusterfuck of teams.
I think it's probably Toronto, Wizards,
Boston,
Raptors,
and the Wizards are the same. They're the same.
Is Boston up there? Without Hayward?
I think it's the Bucks up there and Boston not in there.
I would put Boston in tier two without Hayward.
Yeah. Oh, me too. Washington and Toronto, in my mind right now, are the favorites to make the conference finals.
Of course, the goddamn Brooklyn Nets got to be up there. They're 2-1. They're killing me.
I'm panicking already about that, by the way.
Relax. They're going to be plenty terrible. Don't worry.
This is a perfect time to work in our new segment. We're going to run this every week. We're going to call it Net Positive. I want you guys to gas up. I want you guys to gas up the Nets opponents for this week. Say something nice about the Orlando Magic, Waz. Why are the Magic going to blow out the Nets this week?
Man, oof.
We gave Waz tough one.
They have Aaron Judge's twin brother on their team. my man Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
What else do they got?
Bismack Biyombo,
who had the ultimate like I killed for like five games in the playoffs, and so teams think I'm actually nice. Contract.
You're welcome, Bismack.
Yeah, no doubt.
That was against the Cavs.
What else do they even have? Orlando's one of those teams. I will not watch them.
Terrence Ross, who is
got a nice like I'm on a bender beard going right now.
Yeah, he does.
Marlon Zonia buzzed his hair, and I've never seen a man look more defeated than him. It's like he had all this swag when he came to the league, and he's like, I guess I'm just gonna be white now.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I mean, the Magic did blow out the Cavs, so
they blew out the Cavs, and then they blew out the Heat on opening night. But so they're actually playing pretty well.
Except they dropped one to the Nets already, which is frustrating.
That is true. That is true. But then the Cavs got the Nets, and can I take this one, Justin?
Yeah, you can take that.
I'll gas up the Cavs by saying there's no way the Cavs are going to win this game. The Cavs are going to go 0-4 against the Nets this year. They're gonna because that's the most Cavs it can be. And I want to gas up the Cavs. I want to say, hey, they got this, but they don't. They're gonna lose.
I'm going to that game. I haven't seen the Cavs lose in like a long time. So
Carter, I don't know how, as my co-host, you are the worst at this game. You're worse. That is the opposite of the attention. LeBron's going to play 48 minutes a game against the Nets this year.
Yeah, he better. Chops, can you gas up the Knicks?
No.
I take that back, Carter. You're not as bad as Chops.
Yeah, I at least brought
Chris
energy.
Depp. Okay, they have nobody for Chris Depp. That's it.
There you go.
That's why the Nets are somehow going to go 3-0 this week.
Waz, we'll go back to you for the Denver Nuggets. Say nice things about Jamal Murray.
Jamal Murray, I fuck with Jamal Murray.
Attaboy. Like,
I think he can create his own shot. He can make a open jumper. an open three, I should say, you know, more importantly, because nobody cares about open 20 footers. But yeah, he could knock down an open three. He's not terrible initiating pick and roll, which to me is like, that's what separates, you know, I don't know, who's just fucking catch and shoot and can do nothing. That's what separates Klay Thompson, say, from, you know, from my man Damian Lillard or CJ McCollum type. You know what I'm saying? Offensively, anyway. They can actually do stuff with the rock. I think he's in the mold of a CJ McCollum. Mm-hmm.
I think of him like a Brandon Roy almost, that like a combo guard. I mean, he's not as big as Roy.
Yeah, but he's bigger than CJ.
Right, right. And he moves in a similar way.
Pulling. Like, he can pull off the dribble and you're like, okay, I think that might actually go in. Like, that's huge.
Should the Nuggets go after Bledsoe? Everybody's linking the Nuggets to Bledsoe, too.
I mean, for the right price, yeah. Like, if you can trade Moutier, Fareed, and, like, a pick, like, that's a big difference maker. I mean, I like the Nuggets' future, and I don't think that impacts their future at all. But that just kind of solidifies them. What's that?
Moutier is cheeks. He's terrible.
Yeah, Moutier's
Moutier's been a disappointment, man.
I thought he was going to be good.
Yeah, so did I. And to think I was like, wow, the freaking Knicks draft Kristaps over Moutier.
For once, a player not fitting into the triangle worked out well for the Knicks.
Right.
Well, dude, Moutier is like, I feel like he's just the dude who had a cool name. Like, none of us have ever watched him play. And right. We're like, that's a sweet name. He's going to be good. He's 6'5", he's athletic. Cool.
That's
name.
One of the biggest discrepancies between how good a basketball name someone has and how good they actually are at basketball.
But see, the people that watched him in high school or whatever, like amongst his peers, he seemed to be like athletically superior.
Yeah, he was awesome. So,
yeah.
Folks just assumed that his superior athleticism would translate in the NBA. Like, he'd be able to dribble past people and finish over big guys. Mm-hmm. But that just hasn't been the case. Like, everybody said he'd have to get his jump shot better, which, yeah, has borne itself out. But people thought he'd be able to dribble past everybody and finish at the rack, which just, yeah, no.
I think we thought he'd be closer, like, what De'Aaron Fox is now. Like, super athletic, super quick with the ball. And it's like, dude, he just doesn't have any touch at the rim at all.
No.
I don't know if he's an NBA player.
Jeez. You guys aren't making a big sell for him to be traded for Eric Bledsoe right now.
Well, I mean, the Suns really don't have any leverage. Like, that's the main thing.
When the player tweets he doesn't want to be somewhere, it kind of.
And then he's not even playing.
By the way, masterful job here.
Here's my question, and this was like the second McDonough said that it was. He said Bledsoe told him that the tweet was from a hair salon.
Yeah.
And he didn't buy it. But, like, do you think that Bledsoe told him he was at the barber shop and McDonough was like, it's a hair salon, just to, like, make him sound like a little emasculated?
I don't hate that theory. I don't hate that theory at all.
It's a hair salon. Man.
He was getting a pedicure and a manicure at the hair salon.
I love the NBA.
Oh, me too, man.
like what league? Like, what league do we have such like stupid joy?
Look like, how great about week one has been. We got Bledsoe at the hair salon. We got Kyrie telling people to suck his dick. We got all the Embiid shenanigans. I love it.
Just catastrophic injuries. Yeah, it's been fantastic.
Yeah, I was wondering if you were just gonna like toss that in at the end.
No. I mean, as much as this is a Cavs podcast, I'm not going to talk about Lynn and Hayward getting hurt in that light.
Yeah, that was a bummer. That wasn't great.
Man, Jeremy Lin broke my heart, man. That video was tough. When he hits the ground, the panic, and then like just breaks down crying. And like, I've never heard anyone say a bad thing about Jeremy Lin as a person and the shit he's
except
tried
for
to.
Kenyon Martin.
Kenyon Martin said a lot of bad things about it.
That's true. The way Lynn just like went back at him in the coolest,
that was the
nicest
clapback. That was the greatest clapback ever.
Like just quietly tossing in the Chinese tattoos.
Yeah, he was
like,
"I have dread." Yeah, you have Chinese tattoos. Yeah. Do you speak Mandarin?
You can
or Cantonese? Like, no.
I wonder if Kenyon knows what the things mean.
I can't watch any more Nets games, guys. I turned on like two straight, the last two Nets games, and I've just seen Joe Harris hit like five threes. So I'm just bad luck.
Smoking yeah, Joe Harris, done. Man.
You're out.
Yeah, I man, can't I, do it.
The Nets made me root for the Hawks in a game this year, man. I can't ever the forgive Hawks them for that.
Down. I remember right when the trade went down, one of my best friends at work is a big Celtics fan, and he was just like, have fun agonizing over the Nets all year. That's your burden now. It's not mine anymore.
I'd be okay with trading the pick just so I don't have to watch another Nets game or follow a box score again.
Yeah,
So ideally, what kind of piece would you guys like to see the Cavs bring in?
I don't know. For a while, like, I think the thought was like, okay, like, if it goes sideways in OKC, like, Russ gets hurt or something, they think they're not going to get him back, like, go chase George with it. But, like, now that Melo's there, it's not happening.
I just can't see a player being available that would really help against the Warriors.
Does it have to be a wing?
I think it has to be a wing. Like, Anthony Davis is not getting moved. As interesting as Boogie Cousins would be, it doesn't help any of the defensive issues. You can't really play him alongside Love.
And he hates LeBron.
Yeah, and he hates LeBron. So,
Boogie Cousins hates LeBron?
Yeah, there was talk on Twitter. There's a guy saying that, I've heard it from a few people actually, but Boogie's saying that he will never want to play with LeBron, how he thinks he's too demanding. Just not a fan.
I'm down to believe that. That sounds just like Boogie. Like, LeBron's going to make me run, man. Fuck that.
And the Cavs were trying to get a Love for Boogie deal done back in the day, and I feel like that would have happened if the Cavs wanted Cousins.
What if they go the route of, like, not star, but, like, really good wing plus et cetera, et cetera? Like
Brogdon and Middleton.
Or, like, an Avery Bradley and someone else, you know?
I'd be okay with that.
Oakland pick, man. Like, haven't teams gotten burned with that like a billion times historically?
Yeah, Avery Bradley hasn't been paid yet, has he?
No, he's an expiring.
He Oh, that's just one example, but I'm saying like
a guy caliber, like Avery Bradley.
Yeah, like a caliber player like that who's not a bona fide star, but then you get like maybe two like another guy and maybe another, you know.
I don't know if that works because the Cavs like rotation is already pretty jam packed. Like, at some point, you have to like consolidate. Like, they have like nine guys who all have huge
Amon
names
Shumpert
that are all
on traded.
Minutes.
Like, we can trade Amon Shumpert.
Amon, but that's the thing, he can't. They've tried.
Well, I mean, at this point, Shump is just salary matching, which is helpful. I think the goal is we were joking about sending him to Phoenix to like go chase Bledsoe. And it was like, the nice thing for the Suns is, because he does have a player option at the end of this year for that extra $10 million, and Shump would hate Phoenix so much, he's opting out.
Yeah, well, I think Shump is going to think that he's going to get money and he's going to opt out no matter what happens.
Will he even be in the NBA if he opts out of his contract?
God damn.
I don't know if you're wrong.
In the NBA. Nah, he'll be in the NBA. I'll take that back.
Yeah.
Is Aaron Williams in the NBA? Kill.
The Kings would sign Amon Shumpert if he's a free agent.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, they've wanted him for a while.
Yeah, like
that dude. I was texting a buddy about the Bledsoe thing, and he's like, I think he's just destined to be a Knick. Like, I knew Brandon Jennings was destined to be a Knick at some point in his life. Shump is destined to be a King.
Yeah. Like, can I tell the story about how Shump came up to Everyday Struggle?
Yes, absolutely.
Man. He totally recognized me from Twitter, and it was so awkward. And then,
is that why you tweet number four now instead of his name?
Said bad things about him on Twitter.
Oh, he always hates Shump.
For the past 3 years. So like, he definitely like as soon as he walked in, like it was just this awkward like just me staring at him and him staring back at me, and then like we go through the interview, it's fine, and then afterwards. He's like, so you're from Cleveland? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, yeah. He's like, I've definitely seen you online. And I'm like, oh, well. And he was like, I'm not going to be nice to Cavs fans this year. And I'm like, all right. And then we took an awkward picture together and he left.
Did you ask for the photo?
No, he told me to take a picture with it.
Oh, my God.
He should have definitely went full Vic Mensa on your ass.
No, dog.
That's what he should have did.
I thought he was. He was, man, he's tall as fuck. I was like, fuck this.
And he's from Chicago, too.
Exactly. Yeah. He talked about the Vic thing when he was up there. He was like, you guys get people heated. I'm like, please don't, like, fucking freak out.
I'm just searching some Chops tweets on Chops.
So, I've been nice this season for a reason.
No, yeah, well, you haven't been nice. You've tweeted number four instead of his name. You've tweeted number four instead of his name. That doesn't
you
make
are
it
such
nice.
A coward.
Dog.
But I respect it though, because you might have to see these people. Like
exactly. Like it's different now. Like I might like see these people in traffic.
Also, by the way, so like, you know, like if I ever saw Kyrie Irving, I would have absolutely no problem being like, yo, Kyrie, you so nice, kid. You know it's all in the tank. Like, it would be nut. Like, I wouldn't even think twice about it.
Did you guys watch Atlanta?
Yeah. Of course.
Do you remember that dude, Zan? That was like he would be like super kind of fake nice with Paperboy, and then like would just shit on him online. You guys are that guy.
Yes. That character is like based on academics.
Facts, though. Facts.
No, it yeah, like I rewatched and I was like, oh fuck, this is like academic.
Right, that's fucked up. Quote: Shump is what people think Olenek is. So clumsy that he can hurt people.
Chops, what's your best Joe Budden story that you can tell?
It's the Migos one. It's the Migos one, but it's the fact that the hotel we were staying at was the locks were staying at the hotel. So every morning I would walk outside and Budden would just be chain smoking cigarettes with Jadakiss and Styles P. And, and like that just sent like the tempo for like, and like the mood for the whole week. And like that morning, like, people don't know that, like, Migos tried to, like, Suge Knight Budden at a mall in Beverly Hills and, like, tried to run up on him. And, like, and like so, like, that's why when they were on the red carpet, like, it got so intense. But, yeah, that's probably – that was the peak of my Budden experience.
I got a question, Chops, about that incident.
What's up?
It's – so after that came out, there was, like, this video that came out right afterward of everyone's reactions, like, close-up.
The slow motion one, yeah.
Yeah.
How the hell, like, literally every single reaction was in, like, full HD. And I was stunned by that. Okay. Did you guys release that?
Yeah, our video editor, Romo, made that. But we knew we couldn't put that out on our, like, Complex. So he put it out on his own socials. But he made that. He had all the footage. That's why it was all.
Because I was like, no way could someone just like screen grab that shit.
Yeah. No, that was Romo. He's a genius. That made our talent booker, who's the girl who like comes in at the end, like she like is like smiling and she has no idea what's going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Made her very famous. Yeah.
Yeah. Her reaction was
for
hilarious.
Sure. She like peered over and she's smiling. She's like, what? Drama?
She's going to be on shirts. Just wait.
Yo, so what's up with Complex Con? I seen y'all just added Action Bronson.
Mm-hmm. Yo, here's
and
the
Mia Khalifa.
Complex Con.
I was about to make a Mia Khalifa joke. Thanks for getting there first.
Okay, no comment.
Damn it! I was really hoping we were going to get something there.
No, you're getting nothing there. I like my job. Lonzo Ball and LeVar Ball will be there. I cannot wait to be in the presence of the big baller brand.
Oh, my goodness. Jesus Christ.
I mean, you got to get a pick with LeVar.
I can't wait, dog. He's, like, he's not going to tone down, is he?
No. This is here to stay.
He's been rewarded. His behavior has been rewarded.
Yes. Right? He gets on SportsCenter every night. I love it.
There's no reason for him to change anything that he's doing in his mind.
He's like a WWE manager, man.
He's like, yo, I'm a fucking genius.
Do you guys like him? Because I find myself liking him more the more he's on. Because like,
I like him because
the shtick is so shameless.
One, I like him because he's in on the joke.
Yes.
Two, he raised Lonzo Ball, who by all indications is a well-adjusted kid.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. He seems like a great kid.
I don't give a shit about his quality of a father.
He's not giving yo, baby, it's your credibility, baby. Like, he's not giving ridiculous looks like
that. Lonzo Ball is a much nicer person than Kyrie Irving.
Breaking. LeVar Ball. Waz says LeVar Ball is a better father than Frederick Irving.
That's going to be the headline when we put the pod out.
Aggregators. You know, also, by the way, we don't even need to use the Kyrie example. D'Angelo Russell, who by all indications rubbed everyone the wrong way.
Yeah.
From the local media who's covering the team every day, to management, to fans, to everyone, to his fellow teammates. There's not a single person he didn't piss off. He was a snitch, and he was just like a really, from what I've heard anyway, from people who were around him regularly on a day to day. It was just like, yo, the kid just thinks he's fucking God's gift to the world.
LeVar Ball and Stephen A. Smith are a match made in sports media heaven. Like, every interaction those two have is hysterical.
They're gonna make out at least once. That's just facts.
I love it. Like LeVar. The thing about LeVar though, he's gonna he cut a promo on John Wall and the Wizards yesterday. Like, John Wall is gonna bust Lonzo Ball's ass because of that.
Oh man, did you see Gortat tweeted about that?
Yeah. Like, John Wall's about to give Lonzo the drugs tomorrow, I think they play. It's going to be bad.
Yeah. Well, you know,
it's appointment TV, be worse, man. Than Beverly was. It's Beverly chest bumped his ass right to start the game. Just took a foul to send a message.
I love Beverly for that, and I have nothing against Lonzo. I'm rooting for him. I think he's fun to watch. But I loved Beverly going after him like that.
Yeah, just like that's a dude who like scrapped his way up in the league. Like, he's just like, yeah, fuck that guy. I'm just gonna ruin his night for fun.
I love it.
That dude's amazing.
Oh yeah,
the Lonzo Ball experience. I'm here for it.
Well, it's so weird. Like, that dude just like, I'm almost like, I'm getting to the point like with Jokic. Same with Jokic, where I'm just not trying to have an opinion on it because like people are too passionate. Like,
how do people care so much all the time? Like,
it's crazy, man. It's crazy.
Like, there's just certain NBA. Like, I've learned to not really take NBA hipster takes too seriously. Like, when people, when people want to jerk off to Jokic, it's fine. Like, whatever. Yeah.
Just let them. Just let them.
Like, my Jokic is Rodney Hood. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm weirdly obsessed with Rodney Hood. I don't know why, but I get when people are like, and I like Alec Burks too, actually.
Yeah, I like that Jazz team this year. Love that Jazz team.
I think they'll be interesting.
Yeah, sound like a bunch of NBA hipsters right now. That's what I'm.
Yeah, I've been on the Jazz corner for like two, for like 3 years now.
Oh, we know. We know.
Yes. The biggest Jazz fan outside of Utah for sure, or people who are actually related to players on the team.
So you haven't adopted the Lakers yet? I couldn't resist that.
Okay,
yeah, let's talk about LA. How's LA treating you, Waz?
LA is fine. LA is dope. It's definitely got its own vibe. It's got its own things to offer. I don't have a bad thing to say about LA, but you know, it's different. From the customs here are a lot different than they are out east. You know, for instance, I've seen more luxury cars in the 4 weeks that I've been here than I have in 30 years in New York City, and I swear to God. And it's not because we don't have rich people in New York. It's just, you're just not going to buy a lime green Ferrari. Like,
right.
You're not going to do that. Like, there's a culture of showing off, look at me, which, whatever, you know what I'm saying? People do want to get noticed. People do want to get seen. People want to be discovered. Like, you know, the industry town here is entertainment, right? Mm-hmm. It's like iron in Pittsburgh or steel or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what it is out here. Right. Well, sure. Pittsburgh is actually a pretty shitty town, but that's neither here nor there.
See, you're already endearing yourself to Cleveland fans.
Just don't talk about Cleveland itself. just stick to Pittsburgh.
There you go. So there's a culture of kind of look at me. And what I will say, and I've told a bunch of people this, is like, people in New York do want to be noticed and do want to impress people and do want to be looked at, mm-hmm. and are pretty vain, but there's just this idea that you're supposed to make it look like you're not, right?
Right.
It's just the look at me is a way more, it's more transparent over here.
It's so much harder in New York because you have to go out of your way to do anything in New York City.
Yes, like anything that isn't your job,
right? It's like the city makes it impossible to do. Like you can't like just normally flex, and right. It's just a made for flexing.
Like for instance, I'm at on Saturday, I went to a nightclub because I had some homies visiting, and of course, you know when people visit from out of town, they don't want to go to some regular random bar.
They're not going to a dive.
They want to go to the quote unquote poppin' spots. So we go to this place called Nightingale, which is one of those fancy smancy velvet rope deals where the doorman looks through 9 out of 10 people that show up and try to get in and whatever, whatever. So you get there and the parking lot is actually the entrance. So guys show up in their Rolls Royces, which of course, inevitably in my mind, I'm like, he rented that shit. But whatever, you hop out your Rolls Royce in front of everybody and you walk up to the freaking gate to get let in. Like, there's just nothing like that in New York. You know what I'm saying? Like, there is no experience of like watching somebody literally flex on you just by showing up. You know, like, that's just not
the passive. It's passive flexing.
Are you going to go to more Clippers or Lakers games? Have you decided?
Probably Clippers. Probably because it's cheaper. Right?
It's just so much cheaper.
It's cheaper, but you know, like from what I understand, I still haven't been to the Laker to Staples yet. But from what I understand, like going to a Laker game, it's kind of like an event, right? It's like people get dressed up to the nines, and it's like a thing. So you know, I want to experience that just for the sake of it. But you know, I'm way more blue collar than you know plastic surgery having chicks at a basketball game. You know what I'm saying?
Jobs. At his club for his birthday.
Yo, it wasn't a club. We were at a dive and we ripped that shit apart.
Well, I'm super proud of you for throwing a good party.
Yeah, very happy for you.
Thank you, guys.
So I have a question, guys, and this is very, very off the basketball path, but I was playing some 2K with Justin last night, and his fiance came home, and she just asked him about his day, and he's like, yeah, you know, I had a light dinner. I had a tomato sandwich.
Toasted tomato sandwich, man.
A toasted tomato sandwich.
Any sauce? Mayonnaise? Ranch? What are we doing there?
Well,
sauce guys.
I want a little.
Question, have you guys ever heard of a tomato sandwich?
Tomato and cheese. Tomato and grilled cheese.
Yeah,
sure. But that's not what this is. Justin toasts a piece of bread.
I toast bread.
Puts a Kraft fucking single on it. And then put a tomato with some pepper on it. It's filthy.
No. You also got to salt the cheese. You put some bacon in there, too.
Waz, I'm going to at you with
mayonnaise.
You are going to throw up.
I got a little adventurous last night. I got a little adventurous last night at a guacamole. Bougie as hell.
It's not bougie because you put a Kraft single on there.
Winnipeg's so weird.
Yeah, I think it's a Canadian thing.
But we confirmed it's not a Canadian thing.
Something related to Winnipeg being crazy. One of my homies, a good friend of mine, actually lives in Winnipeg. He's from Toronto, though. And he told me that Winnipeg is actually a gem.
It is.
As far as the women are concerned. Like,
exactly. I've heard that from everybody.
Gem. It's a hidden gem. He said Toronto has been ran through. And I don't mean that in the sense of like. I don't mean that in the problematic sense. Meaning like, running through chicks. No, I mean like people know what Toronto is now. Like it's not a secret. It's out. It's a destination city completely.
Montreal is number one. Like Montreal is number one for the women. Winnipeg
I've
is.
I've heard Montreal is fun.
Yeah, Montreal is great. Winnipeg is up there.
Check your Twitter ads real quick, Waz. Take a look at this fucking sandwich.
we're trying to talk about Canadian women and Carter's just
okay.
I'm not off the sandwich thing. We can talk about Canadian
this,
women.
This was the second sandwich. There's no bacon.
Are you Dominican or are you Dominican or what's going on there? salt and pepper, cheese, guacamole. Wait, what the fuck? Wait a second.
Man, I'm on the blogger bucks, man.
What's the white stuff behind the tomato?
That's a good question.
Mayo. Miracle
Whip. Okay, mayonnaise, salt, and pepper. I can see this sandwich not being completely terrible.
Yeah. The first one was the first one had bacon. The first one had bacon, no guac.
It's not a sandwich as much as I think it was Sam that said this, or maybe Damon Rangola, but it's like you just didn't have anything left in your cupboards and you didn't want to go to the grocery store, so you just grabbed like six random items out and threw it on a piece of bread.
Matt, I'm stretching that dollar. Don't hate.
You can do better than this.
I got a wedding to pay for, man.
Well, I was really thrown off by this last night, and Justin like was basically like his fiance was saying that I didn't know what it was because I wasn't poor enough. And I was like, dude, I've had 1,000 grilled cheeses, and that's got like six less ingredients.
I don't know.
You could have at least put some work in, Justin. Just did the grilled cheese.
Hell, get some mozzarella, make it a caprese. That's a decent human adult sandwich.
The recipe calls for the plastic cheese, man.
It does not, and it's filthy.
I've tried it with better cheese. It's not as good.
Yo, Wash, are you missing NYC food?
Yes. Yeah, so yes,
you're like missing the bodega.
It's just generally speaking, I don't know. It's LA food. It's fine. They have better ingredients than us because all this shit is locally sourced, which is fine. But I don't want to be this person that's like New York got better shit than y'all. But like, so far the food.
But New York's got better shit.
It's food wise, yeah. I would have to just generally speaking, you can just get some regular shit that is good as fuck. Like for I'm getting regular shit out here.
You're saying like...
No, I don't do chopped cheese because I'm not from uptown. So I don't
do chopped cheese. Okay, I don't do chopped cheese.
Although they have it at my deli. But I'm like at my former deli, I should say. Yeah. Teardrop. Tear. Rest in peace, Hillside Deli.
shout out. They're sponsored.
Yeah, you can, and it's just shit is just less accessible. If you want to eat at 12:30 at night, which is a fat boy like I am, I often do. It's a lot harder to achieve that out here, especially if you don't have a car.
You have to do the tomato sandwiches, like Justin.
Right.
Here's my question, Waz. Are you saying that like your everyday meal is better in New York, but the ceiling is higher in LA?
I don't even think that's true.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
But you can get good shit here. Like you can get really dope Korean barbecue. Like the two best spots that I've been to was a Korean barbecue spot, which, you know, we have Korean barbecue in Queens, like in Flushing and in Bayside, which is pretty good. Mm-hmm. But this spot was better than anything I'd ever been to out in Queens. And I went to a Thai spot that was killing every Thai spot I ever been to in New York, which includes and all, because it was like one of those no frills type of Thai spots. Yes. Not the fancy schmancy where they're playing H&M music. You know what I'm saying? Where Chromeo is blasting through the speakers. Like, this was a, this is authentic Thai cuisine. And that shit was fire. You know, it was really affordable. You got crazy good portions. When the lady asked me how, like, they have levels of how spicy you want it. Thai spicy being the varsity level of it. Of course, you know I had to get the Thai spicy. She was like, "You sure?" I was like, "Come on, fam. Come on. This ain't my first rodeo, ma." Yeah, so those are the two best spots I've been to out here. Oh, I went to some a while ago. I went to a fancy Italian shit called Gusto, which was really good.
Yeah, but that's not gonna be better than NYC Italian.
It's not.
I was at Carbone like a week ago, dog. Woo!
that's a flex, by the way.
That was a flex.
Carbone is like, yeah, that's one of the spots out in NYC. That was a flex.
You guys just can't make it through a pod without doing a hidden live read, eh?
Yeah, we're all these places sponsor us, actually. Even the Thai place that Waz didn't even know the name of. Like, they're all paying for us.
Let's tell you, damn, what's the, oh my God. Oh, I feel bad.
Come to Cleveland soon. Meet me in Cleveland.
Cleveland's got great food. I was really impressed.
Chicago's got great food, man. You gotta come to Chicago. That's the place.
Cleveland at some point. We're going to try to get to Cleveland at some point, maybe do a show, maybe whatever. But, oh, no. When I was in Cleveland in 2016 for the finals, went to Urban Farmer. Which
the Cavs won.
Which the Cavs won, yes, they did. They lost
they lost game four.
They won game three and lost game four.
Yeah.
And I walked past the bar and there was a chick literally on the floor crying. She was sobbing.
A lot of passion there.
But yeah, I went to Urban Farmer out in Cleveland and that shit was banging. Probably the best steak I ever had in my life at Urban Farmer. Real shit.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Amazing.
Them shits cost like $65, but I mean it's good.
Yeah, they're charging you like rent in Cleveland, but yeah, it's so good. That is like rent in Cleveland too.
Justin, how's Winnipeg cuisine? Do you have to hunt and kill the animal before you get to eat?
Yeah, you gotta hunt down the wild tomatoes. No, it's good. There's a lot. Big variety because we got a big Filipino community here, so there's a lot of really good Filipino food, and it's a very culturally diverse city, so you get a smorgasbord of stuff, so I love it.
That's respect.
Hidden gem. But this is probably, I think we've gone sufficiently off the rails, so maybe this is a good time to wrap things up. Chops and Waz, really appreciate you both coming on the podcast. Hope to have you guys on again soon. This was a lot of fun. Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you. You're very welcome, Justin.
Thanks, guys.
And for all our listeners, remember, leave 5 stars, leave a review. It's the best way to support the show. And as always, go Cavs. 1, 2.